I speak to you in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Those of you who were here last Sunday morning when we celebrated the Feast of Michaelmas would have heard me speak about angels as the thoughts of God that draw us into the invisible and remind us that the thoughts of our own intellects and the longings of our own hearts hold the key to our spiritual life together in the Church of God. Our keeping of Harvest Thanksgiving today is similarly about our spiritual life. Even though we dress our church with flowers and bring the bounty of the harvest and lay them at the altar to express our thanks for God's providence in providing them, but we aren't feeding God or offering sacrifices to some idol of our imaginations. We are honouring God as the source and truth of all that belongs to our lives physically and spiritually. Thanksgiving, then, is about the return to God of what has come to us in creation and redemption. Thanksgiving can't be forced or coerced. It can be encouraged, but ultimately it must come from within us. The classic Thanksgiving story is one we heard a few weeks ago on the 14th Sunday after Trinity. It is the story of 10 lepers huddled on the outskirts of a city, outcasts and rejects, who cry out to Jesus for mercy. He has compassion on them and bids them, go and show yourselves to the priests. They turn and go, but only to discover that they are healed of their leprosy. And the centerpiece of the story is about the one who, seeing that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. His action catches Jesus' attention and asks, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And to him, alone of the 10, Jesus says, thy faith has made thee whole. Notice that it's not just about being healed, but being made whole. In turning back and giving thanks, we too are made whole. Our first lesson this afternoon from Isaiah recalls us to the creative power of God's word. The passage speaks about the rain and the snow, watering the earth, making it bring forth and bud, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. But it grounds these natural events in the activity of God. Creation, after all, is not something static, a one-time happening, but we can think of it as being dynamic, happening all the time. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, Isaiah has God say. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And that word of God in us is also the meaning of our second lesson from St. John's Gospel. In this reading, Jesus identifies himself as the bread of life, who has come down from heaven to give life to the world. And Jesus is the one to whom our spiritual life is nurtured and fed. So word and bread go together. So shall my word be, God says in Isaiah. I am the bread of life, says Jesus. who is the Word of God made flesh. He gives himself to us in and through his act of thanksgiving to the Father in the power of the Holy Spirit. And such is our Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. Our offering is only possible through the Son's thanksgiving to the Father in the agony of the cross. For such is the divine purpose of the Word, which goes forth in creation and redemption. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it is only possible in us because of Christ in us. We are in him, in these fundamental notions of returning and giving thanks, the motions of his life in us, through him who is the bread of life. In returning and giving thanks, we are more than healed. We are made whole. Thanksgiving reminds us of our life in Christ and our life for Christ. It is about the motions of his word alive in us. And on this day of thanksgiving, the giving of thanks to God, the giving of thanks for what we have, and the giving of thanks with one another, and the sharing with one another, our thanksgiving speaks to the highest freedom and dignity of our humanity. It is what we have done throughout today and do now complete in this service. You have been similarly kind and generous enough to me to thank me many, many times over in recent weeks for my ministry here. And I'm deeply touched by your remarks and many kindnesses to me. It is though as steward, as Ben reminded us this morning, and not principal, that I have tried to exercise the cure or care of souls here. As pastor, I have tried to encourage a sense of inclusion and belonging amongst everyone, to notice who is present and who is not present, and to follow up with inquiries about well-being, to engage with the events that affect our lives, to understand what gladdens but also concerns us, and to offer interest, sympathy, and support where appropriate, and to hold everyone in love in my thoughts and in my prayers. Knowing and caring for you gives me the confidence and the knowledge to venture to stand at the altar, to gather up all that we are and all that affects us, and to offer that to God as our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, as our prayer of oblation reminds us. God's word, in its sending out, does indeed not return empty-handed. It returns as the movement within us of our praise and thanksgiving. For such is our grounding in the life of God and his word. And it is through the sacramental life of the church that we are brought together and united in the grace of creation and the grace of redemption. Much of ministry is about the mundane. It's about the building, the facilities, its contents. It's about meetings and committees, navigating the complex rules that govern church procedure and have a rather arcane language all of their own. It's about faculties and permissions, the completion and filing of marriage returns, the drawing up of rotas and service sheets, the choosing of hymns and so forth. It is easy to become busy with all of these tasks and processes. But such progress that has been made during my time here in any of these things is of nothing worth without the participation of us all in the spiritual life that is offered here, and which in turn moves to give us life. As the psalmist said, "Except the Lord build the house, their labor is but lost that build it." It is only in so doing that we turn to become the sacrament that we receive, the outward and visible form of the inward and spiritual grace given to us. My vision for St. Botolph's has been to place the administration of the sacraments at the very center of our worship, to create the beauty of holiness by conducting our services in as dignified and ordered a manner as possible, based on the prayer book liturgies and the authorized version of the Bible, which, when enhanced by the singing of our wonderful choir, can lift us up out of present sorrows and carry us on angels' wings into the life that is eternal, as we praise and worship God in the kingdom that is without end. Our thanksgiving today, then, is about the going forth of the word of God in us and our returning to God like the leper that was healed. Our praise and thanksgiving for all that we have received, for in so doing, we are made whole again. So for all that there has been and all that there will be, we offer our humble thanksgiving and praise to God today, the Creator and Redeemer of all things, for all his many gifts and spiritual mercies to us. Thanks be to God. Amen.